Happy New Year, co-pilot.
Merry New Year. We're back.
Oh, I haven't seen your beautiful face for a very long time, Tom.
You wouldn't call it beautiful.
Somebody does.
How are you? Poor Vicky.
She does.
How are you, Jake?
I'm great, Tom. I'm great.
You looking well?
Feeling good. Yep. Yes. Had a nice little relax across the holiday period and back into it and footy just around the corner.
Not in, where were you last year? Were you in Palm Springs for Christmas in 2022?
I was in Hawaii.
Oh, you in Hawaii.
Yes, yes. The weather was a little bit different in downtown Geelong at this time of the year. But just a normal Christmas for the Doherty family this year, which was good. So it was very relaxing.
Very nice. Well, we've got plenty of footy to talk about. We're going to go straight off the top because one of the biggest off-season acquisitions in the Bellarine Football Netball League, of course, was the two-time Liston Trophy winner in Tom Gribble, and he's been good enough to join us as he joins Geelong Amateur in 2024. Hello, Grib.
Jase, King, how are you going?
Well, thanks for joining us. Well, you join us on a day where there's some pretty big news coming out of Geelong Amateur. We thought they'd done all right by adding yourself and Blake Sutterby coming home, but you've also been able to nab Paddy Dowling to have a kick in the Pegasus jumper this year.
Yeah, no, it's all happened pretty quickly, I think. So, we got some unfortunate news about one of our players moving on the other night, who was pretty handy. But yeah, Paddy's a pretty handy replacement in a like-for-like sense in terms of position-wise and ability-wise. So, yeah, happy to have Paddy on board, that's for sure.
Yeah, the player moving on is Josh Grabowski, and I believe Bryden Barnett's also going overseas this year, so it does leave a little bit of a hole in the Pegs forward line. But you've played against Paddy at VFL level and seen him in action for St Mary's. You know what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I've played against Paddy. I might have been injured the year we actually played potentially against each other, but... I know what he's capable of and what he can do, and his name's often in the paper for St Mary's over the previous years, whether it be kicking goals, best players, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, obviously a quality addition, and we look forward to benefiting from Paddy's arrival.
Enough Paddy Dowling talk. Who cares about him? We're going to talk to Tom Gribble now, the two-time Liston Trophy winner. I mean, Tom, what was the discussion with? I did read that Geelong Amateurs were actually your club anyway when you're at Werribee, but obviously you're never going to play it at Amos. But yeah, the discussion last year with Riley and Dan about coming back and when sort of was that cemented in your head in terms of when you thought you were going to sort of get back to Amos?
So I guess what was it, end of 2022 season? I think I started to think about my VFL mortality a little bit more closely, Kingy, and I think. Sort of dawned at me that it was probably one last year left in the tank to give, which came at me pretty quickly because I guess I'd always envisioned myself playing till I was, 32, 33 and playing a mountain of games for the Werribee Footy Club. But as life goes, things can change rapidly. And I think with Kirsch and Holroyd at the helm, it really made sense for me to align myself with those guys. And what I wanted when I came back to local was a club where I had mates, because I guess what I've sacrificed over the years is playing with really close schoolmates. And I had Ferg playing there and Camo Lewis and the like and Kirsten Holroyd coaching. So it made a lot of sense for me and aligned with them in 2022 and made that permanent commitment this year, which I'm really, really happy and comfortable with.
It must have been a good way to finish at Werribee, though. An amazing last season in 2023 to finish with the Bees, and you just about got there. It was probably a gratifying way to finish.
Yeah, it's I guess in the wash up of it all, you're bitterly disappointed and it hurts. But I think we look at it. I mean, myself and Michael Sotomarco and Nick Coghlan often share a text occasionally in the group message saying, did we actually just play in a grand final? 4 months ago, it happened really quickly. We just got on an insane roll of form and everything just happened, and I don't know how it happened, but it did. And unfortunately we couldn't get it done on the day, but I think what we put out on the day was a high quality footy, and we were just beaten by a better side in Gold Coast, and I think with their tall forward line they had the perfect conditions, and we were probably hoping for a little bit of rain to affect that tall forward line, but it didn't happen, and it was a pristine 28 degree, almost Gold Coast sort of day, unfortunately. But we gave it all we got, and there's sort of no no real regrets around the day, which is, you know, sometimes you can walk off the ground and go, did we really give it our all? But I think we fired every possible shot.
From Avalon Airport Oval to KFC Oval for you, Grib. Obviously, you come in as a high-profile recruit. Do you expect to garner some more attention than maybe some others in the AMO's midfield this year?
I think we've got a pretty handy midfield kingy, so we'll leave that to the other teams to decide who they want to give the attention to. But I think any sort of mix of myself, Ferg, Stutters, Paddy Dowling, if he runs through there, you know, there's going to be decisions to be made for opposition to clubs as to who they put their time and effort into, which is only going to benefit the other guys, I guess, around the midfield to sort of hopefully get off the chain a bit. But yeah, looking forward to working with Ferg and Sardes, the Ruckman as well, and seeing what we can do. But yeah, there's probably going to be a bit of attention, but I'm sure we're probably all accustomed to that over the journey anyway.
You just said the Ruckman. There was some whispers around town that Nick Knott might not necessarily be retired and might be heading back to Pegasus House. Is there any truth in that?
Oh, I don't think so, Kingy. No, the footy rumour mill can be wild at times. I've sort of been disconnected from the Geelong footy rumour mill since my time in the VFL.
Welcome back to it.
Well, correct, exactly. You've got bloody three spreads of across the Monday paper dedicated to local footy, and you know the VFL cops next to nothing. So it's quite interesting how that works. But no, the rumour mill around Geelong can run wild, but I don't think there's any truth in that. No.
From a obviously coming back as a playing assistant coach, you know, one day thinking about the coaching, you know, locally or somewhere else as well. So what is that going to entail for you from a not only just a playing perspective at AMOS, but from a coaching perspective as well?
I've sort of always had support from my coaches when I was at Werribee as well to sort of pursue the coaching avenues, I guess. I sort of think about the game quite deeply, and I think I'm just hoping to, at the moment I'm trying to work out what sticks, what doesn't. It's quite a different level in terms of, you know, you've got guys there who are just going there to have a beer with their mates after the game on a Saturday. You know, they're just happy to have a kick. So it's just working out what works, what doesn't, what guys want to digest, what they don't want to digest. So it's quite a change of pace for me. But, yeah, I'm just working with the mids this year. And, you know, if Kirsch and Holroyd, you know, want to lean on me for any sort of, you know, ideas or my thoughts on anything, I'm happy to provide that. But, you know, they're the senior coaches and they're really leading a great program at the moment. So, yeah, I'm just going to be there to help and facilitate and assist where possible, but also a bit of, more focus on the mids, I guess.
In Gribble, what's he up to? What's your brother doing?
he's coming down to AMOS. No, he's not. If you ask Noah, I reckon he'd probably say, I don't know what I'm doing. So, no, I think he's got a commitment to West, but he's battling a few things with his body and his and stuff like that. He's probably had a wretched run over the last 12 months, I think, in terms of his body. So I think just getting that right and, yeah, really working out what he wants to do with his footy. But I think it's safe to say, yeah, he's told Werribee that he won't continue on there. So West hopefully benefit from him having him full-time.
Yep. Was it hard not to go back to West with the family link?
Hard one, Kingy. I guess the family link I knew was always Geelong West St. Peters. And since I'd left and gone and pursued the VFL career, it had changed its branding and stuff. And I don't think the people had changed necessarily, but the people who I played with and knew and aligned myself with at the club back in 20 when I had a year between Geelong VFL and Geelong West locally, they'd probably moved on, and there'd been a serious amount of people change there in regards to players and all that sort of stuff and family involvement, I guess. While it still remains, it's probably less so than what it was. But like I did speak to Greg Mallor a few times. But for me, as I said earlier, it was about aligning myself with really close personal mates who I have foregone having the opportunity to play with them over the last 10, 11, 12 years, whatever it is, since I've moved up the highway to Werribee, and just reconnecting with those guys through footy and, you know, enjoying the benefits of being closer to home and able to have a beer after the game with my close schoolmates and enjoy that side of footy while also looking to be really successful. So I think the mateship that I wanted was the most important thing.
Yep.
To me.
All right. What number will we be wearing when we run out against Motawari in round one?
That's a great question, actually. I think I think they somehow managed to give me number 7 last year, which was nice of them. So 7 would be nice. If 4 was available, I'd jump at that because I have worn that for the last 10 years. But I think Sammy Bukovaz has that, and I won't be pressuring him into giving me that. But yeah, if 7's still there, I'm happy to take it. But I haven't had those discussions with anyone, so you know about as much as I do.
Well, it is not that you're counting, but I think 58 days until round one for your boys playing on Good Friday in a Twilight Clash out at Motawari. Yeah, a little bit different going from Avalon Airport Oval out to Mount Moriac for a game.
To take the cows off, you'll be right.
It's interesting, yeah. I did laugh at that, and a few people have mentioned that to me, but I'm pretty happy to be getting it in March by all reports, so yeah. Not middle of July. So, yeah, small win there, small win.
Grib, great to see you back playing local footy, but congratulations on what was a wonderful VFL career. You eked everything out of yourself, 2 Liston trophies. You go down one of the greats of the VFL over its 150-year history, and we look forward to seeing what you produce in a Pegs jumper over the coming years. Well done.
Thanks, Kingy. Thanks, Jase. Appreciate it, fellas.
Well, we roll out of Tommy Gribble and we roll into a bit of GFNL, and this man, I'm talking about blokes who have been good at VFL level, now not quite the Tom Gribble 2-time Liston trophy winner, but Ben Lloyd's 2 years at Geelong were very, very impressive, including a top 3 and a best and fairest, I think, in 2022, and Jake Chalcraft had a bit of a mortgage on the BNF over the last couple of years before heading to Swan Districts, and Benny's headed back to Bell Park as an assistant coach, and he's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. Thanks for joining us, Benny.
Thanks, boys. A bit embarrassing to be getting compared to or in the same conversation as Tom Gribble and VFL, but I'll take it, that's for sure.
Well, at least you don't have to play against him. He's going to a Ballarine club, and you can avoid him at Bell Park. But the Dragons, they've lured you back, and you've taken a coaching role. Was it just you felt time to, you know, you'd done what you needed to at VFL level, had a crack and realised that your future was back in local footy?
Yeah, mate, I've always sort of been, I guess, a realist with my footy. Intentions going into VFL from the very start wanted to, I guess, go as too far with my footy. I always knew I wasn't probably going to be an AFL or anything like that. So goal was initially to go down and improve my football and then eventually go back to Bell Park, which I've done now. And, lucky enough to be in a coaching role now under Sakes, which has been great.
Yep. You obviously, did you get to deal with, because obviously you're from up the Ovens and Murray region, I think North Albury was your home club. Was Sakes at Lavington when you were at North Albury?
He was, mate, he was. It's a bit of a funny story. Before I moved to Geelong for a bit of uni, he was coaching Lavie, and I was picking between moving to Geelong or playing under Sakes when he was at Lavie. So, funny how things turn out, full circle, and now playing under him eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at one of the recruits for Bell Park, and this might be a link, it's a very Albury Wodonga surname, is Mahady. Is Mitch Mahady originally from up your neck of the woods as well?
Yeah, Mitch Mahady is a North Albury boy as well, so I played a bit of footy with him, so trying to get as many Albury fellas as we can.
and got Uriah Hollard. And got Uriah Hollard across as well, who obviously, whose dad, Jace, is very good mates with James Saker.
That's it. So I think Jace was assistant coach when he was at Lavie and pretty good mates as well. So got a good crew of Albury boys there now, with Wilson Mack as well joining last year. So that's been good.
And going back as an assistant coach, so what are you looking after the mids? What's the role for you in 2024, Ben?
Yeah, mate. Predominantly backline coach.
Okay.
Don't fancy myself too much in the midfield, mate, as you probably know by now. But, I'll be taking care of the backs and, just trying to give a few things I've learned over my last couple of years and help out Sakes wherever I can, really. But, predominantly with the backs, mate.
And the Parkers last year, there was, for want of a better word, there was some green shoots last year. They looked like they were starting to sort of get it together under Sakes and played some good footy. And just with the recruits they've picked up, and, you know, obviously Oscar Riccardi being there as well, Uriah Hollard down forward and yourself full time there. There obviously is the benefit of those, but looking for some more improvement this season.
That's it, mate. As you probably know, we're a pretty young group still. Majority of the guys have come through Bell Park Juniors, and we feel as though we've got a pretty good core there, around that 21 to 22-year-olds. So, yeah, as you said, getting in a few recruits. Myself, Benny Worm coming back from VFL. Hopes of Fraser Maris coming back as well after a couple of years off with injury. And then, yeah, Mitchie Mahardy and a few other guys coming in. Hopefully we can see a bit of improvement and, yeah, the hopes are to be playing finals this year.
One of the great name recruits you've picked up is Ollie Bridgewater. We're looking forward to calling his name during the year. Can you tell us a little bit about Ollie coming up from South Warrnambool?
I'll let you in on a bit of a secret. The nickname's the Beast for Big Ol. Very agile, very athletic guy, and looks unreal on the training park so far. So I'm expecting pretty big things from him. Obviously, a ruckman is what we needed, and we went out and got our man. So,
the beast.
So he's definitely a beast.
So he's getting called that at training? Like, that's stuck as a nickname?
Well, he wasn't too keen on telling us boys. I think it's the South Warrnambools boys were calling him the Beast, but we've got wind of it and it's stuck. So roll with that for the years, boys, I reckon, on the radio.
Nice. We'll be pulling that out, absolutely. The Beast. It's not quite the piano tuner, but... You know,
we'll get him in there. He'll be right.
Some good pracking matches too. Unfortunately, though, you've got North Ballarat, but you don't get to go to Mars. You get to play them at home. Would you prefer to go up and run around on the deck up at Ballarat?
Any time we can get off high sushi is a good time. Mars would have been brilliant. But yeah, I think we went up there the last couple of years, so probably due to having met high sushi.
Yeah, no, fair. No, Jack O'Shea's. He's done. He hasn't shown his face at training.
No, old uncle's gone. Uncle Shez has gone quiet on us. I don't think he's going any more hair either in the off-season, so he's steering clear of the boys.
Is there anybody else you'd like to pot while you're there, assistant coach? This is going nicely. This is beautiful.
I'd like to pot Lockie Patton, but I'll leave that for a bit later in the year, I think.
Sake's settling into his second year. Have you? I'm not sure how much of the time you got to spend with him in the first pre-season with the Cats for you going into 2023, but I suspect for him it's probably been easier knowing the group and being able to get, you know, and having had 12 months in the GFNL system.
Yeah, that's it. So obviously when Sake joined us, wasn't until about mid-January of that year that he joined us. He's obviously had a year under his belt now, got to know the guys, got to know the league, so... he's definitely feeling a lot more comfortable, and he's been able to get a few of his, themes and structures into the club now. So, yeah, I think we're looking to build on exactly what he's, got into the club so far and take it a bit further this year.
Have you seen a bit of what he did at Lavington and what he's trying to do with your boys?
Definitely a little bit. Obviously, I don't know the exact things he was trying to put in place at Lavie, but... defensive minded, probably the one thing that comes to mind as a comparison. So he's definitely trying to get a few things in, that's for sure.
Yep. What does Benny Lloyd do outside of footy these days?
Gee whiz, mate, not too much. I didn't expect that question coming in. No, not a great deal, boys. Work a fair bit as a project manager for one of the sponsors of the club. I don't know. Don't really have too many hobbies off the top of my head. That's put me on the spot. Sorry, boys.
You swinging hands with somebody?
Say it again.
Are you swinging hands with somebody? You got a girlfriend?
I do.
You're nearly eligible then for a minute, but no, you've got a girlfriend, so that's okay. You're off the roster. Well done. Good work.
I'm off the roster.
Well done.
Is she a Geelong girl, or did she follow you down from the Murray?
No, she's originally from Horsham and living in Melbourne, so
right,
she's all over the joint.
This is beyond the boundary. So this has got nothing to do just with footy. This is we talk about personal lives too, okay? So
yeah, I know. Well, I've gathered that now. I didn't realise that.
Well, I think we've grilled you enough, Ben. It's great to have you back full time in the GFNL. You obviously had some wonderful played some wonderful footy before heading down to the Cats and had a real crack down there as well. Was there ever a dangling of interest in you playing at a higher level, or was it a bit of a pipe dream that you might have ended up playing AFL?
As much as I'd love to say yes, definitely not. Nah, as I said, I was always pretty realistic with my capabilities and me footy, so was never really in the line of sight for me. So yeah, goal was always just to become a better footballer and then eventually come back to Bell Park. Which yep. I've done now.
And they've kept the number 9 free for you.
Absolutely, mate.
Yep. Well,
absolutely.
We look forward to calling it throughout season 2024. Great to have you back, as I said, Benny, and we really appreciate you taking some time to join us and wish you the best of luck for season 2024.
No dramas at all, boys. Thanks for having me.
Tom Gribble, Ben Lloyd, and now a rookie coach, a first-timer at East Geelong, a club that hasn't seen success, I think, 2009 might have been the last time they saluted in the GDFNL. Jace, you would have been out at St Albans Reserve that afternoon as they won a premiership over Bell Post Hill, which was a rarity through that era.
Yes, he's filling massive shoes. Adam Skrobelak's massive shoes on that day. So he's he's following a few nice coaches, and we'll get to the stage where I'll talk to Ned about some privately good things about East Geelong that he needs to know as he walks into the coaching job.
Including the Doherty family?
Well, just sort of a few other things, and yeah, he will have come across a few people so far, and I'm sure there's a few that he'll need to come across. I'll warn him as he goes.
Ned Ulsbrook is the new coach of East Geelong after coming across from Bowen Heads, premiership player at the Seagulls, and joining us here on Beyond the Boundary. Ned, thanks for joining us. Is you take in the start of a new school year and a new school? Do you feel like a kid on his first day as you swap schools as a teacher?
Yeah, thanks, Keane. Thanks, Jess. It is it's a bit of a head spin at the moment. So I've just started at a new school on the kids' first day today. So I'm out at Iona College with a few other football coaches. So it's a bit of a footy community out here. It's really nice.
Who is coaching the first 18 out there? Because this is only very quickly off the top of my head. Mellor, Walscott, Herbison, anybody
Walsh.
Else? Oh, Walsh.
Darren.
Is Matt Walsh? Is Matty Walsh out there, is he?
No, Wayne Walsh
is
there.
Oh, Wayne Walsh is there.
Wayne Walsh is there. Darren.
Dalgleish.
Yeah.
Herbison.
Oh, where? Lucky Dalgleish.
Scott Dixon. Dalgleish,
so, Scotty Dixon. So there's two Herbisons out here too, so it'll be fighting for that one, I reckon.
So you'll be coaching the 7Bs.
I don't think I've quite worked my way up the pecking order in the first few days, so I think you might be right there, Kingy.
So who's got the first 18 out at Iona?
I'm actually not sure because they're only up to year 11 at the moment. So
fair.
They might another year and then they'll be duking it out for that one, I think.
Yeah. How are you finding the adaptation to being in the head coach's role? What's it been like since you were appointed, I think, going back to August or September last year out at Richmond Crescent?
Yeah, it's been a big few months, Kingy. I knew it would be a lot of work and I'm actually really, really enjoying it. It's a different look for me, obviously coming from sort of assistant coaching the last few years under some really good coaches, but I am thoroughly enjoying it, and the group's been a massive part of that. So I was able to get Jada McLaughlin across, who I'm really close with, and then Wayne Barrett and Seb Kent, who I have played some footy with in the past as my assistants, and then Jeremy Power as sort of a head of development, and that's development with us as coaches and also the younger players as well. So the big crew of young guys at East, it's really good that we were able to get him across too to help us out and help them out.
Fairly competitive last year, Ned, anyway, the Eagles, but you just obviously lost Tim McLennan as a ruckman, and you probably just needed it and just needed a couple around the edges. The ones that you've recruited have basically filled some holes for you?
Yeah, exactly right. We sort of step one was to get a ruckman after Timmy leaving, obviously. That's big shoes to fill, but we've managed to get Connor McKinnon and Jacob Sobey from up at Warwick Nabil. So Connor was at Bowen Heads with Jaden and myself, and Connor and Sobey's played up at Warwick Nabil for the last few years, but managed to get them across to sort of fill that role, and then also sort of chasing some bigger bodies through the middle. So hopefully I can do a little bit of that. And Angus Hill, who's played a bit of footy at Motawari and then down at Colac in the last couple of years. That's sort of why we thought he'd be a good fit as well.
The Jacob Sobey, brother of Nathan, of course, star basketballer. Nathan, I think, goes all right in the footy field as well. When his basketball career is done, do you maybe ask the question about a high-leaping, agile sort of midfielder?
I think Nathan's pretty happy up in Brisbane at the moment. So that I sort of grew up with Jacob, and Nathan was a couple of years older. But, yeah, he is doing very, very well in the basketball realm, but I don't think we'd be getting him down to East Geelong anytime soon.
What have you learned about East Geelong that you didn't know going in? Like, you take a coaching role and you do your due diligence on a club, but you don't know everything. But what have you learned about East over the last 6 or so months?
I suppose I had a sort of fair idea about what they were all about. I've had a few connections through my previous school, working in a primary school at East Geelong. A very, very family-based club. So that I sort of thought that would be one of the big factors of East Geelong. And I think I was pretty bang on there. But the level of motivation in the actual playing group has been, absolutely amazing. And with a group that young, I think it's been really impressive for me. And it's made my job as a new coach coming into a new club really, really easy, considering that the list is so young and how driven they are. I think that's probably something that hasn't surprised me, but that I'm quietly pleased with how they're tracking at the moment.
And now, I'll just give you a little bit of background and insight, Ned, because I did spend a couple of years at East Geelong, and actually two of my daughters play netball at East Geelong currently, so I do have a vested interest in the club.
Lovely.
So the president of the league, he runs East Geelong. Did you know that? So he has been president of the league for about 40 years, but he has gold and maroon running through his veins. So just make sure
you've been made aware of this.
You've been made aware of that. That's good.
Yeah.
Second, the O'Learys run the club. Did you know that?
Yes, I have had the pleasure of teaching a couple of Sean's children, and Mick has been an absolute godsend for me coming into the new role. I've been able to ask him a million questions, and pretty much if there's something I don't know, he's been able to jump on that for me and help guide me through the pre-season, so I can just focus on the footy side of things. So, the O'Learys certainly do run the club, I believe.
There's one other person at the club that you need to steer clear of, and his name is Daryl Rowbottom. Have you come across Daryl yet?
Not yet.
Okay, so Daryl will get you at one stage in the bar in the first couple of rounds, and he will tell you about the 1993 GWFNL Second Division Premiership.
They beat Motawarri.
When we were 33 points down at three-quarter time against Motawarri at West Oval, and Daryl Rowbottom basically won the game for us. So if you can get that out of the way early in the season, you'll be doing nicely.
Season launch, I might try and hunt him down.
Well done. Good way.
Have you got a membership, Kingy? I can get you a jersey with 34 on the back if you like.
Yeah. So you're going to wear 34?
Yeah.
Can you get double XL?
Mine might be pushing it there, I reckon, at the moment.
You got some good kids down there. Who's sort of stood out for you over the, we could ask, track stars and stuff like that, but has anybody jumped off the page at you over the last, 2 or 3 months of pre-season?
Yeah, as you said, some of the younger guys, so we've got about 20 blokes that are sort of 22 or younger, and that's why we thought it'd be a really good idea to get someone like Jeremy Power in who thinks about the game really, really differently and can help develop those kids. But some of those younger crew that are really impressing on the track are Austin and Ben Mulvile. They're doing really, really well and leading the way with their voice and things like that. And Benny Crombie, he's a star, mate. So three young leaders of the club, they've done really, really well. And they sort of bring the other guys along with them. So, those three in particular, and there's others. But those are the three that just popped up in my head just then. Will Huff's another one.
Yep. Has Huey Menzies grown into his body yet?
No, poor old Huey's had surgery on his shoulder, so... He's out for a little while, but we've got him sort of assisting Jeremy Power in that development role, because I thought it was pretty important to keep someone like Huey around the club. He's an absolute superstar and a legend. So we got him involved with that, which is great, but hopefully his shoulder recovers quickly.
Is that a throwback to an injury last year, Ned, or is that something that's happened over pre-season with the shoulder?
He was playing cricket and he was in the field, so I'm not really sure how that happened, but... it was a re-injury of a past one, yeah.
Okay. So have you got a time frame? This is obviously it's a real blow for you guys.
Yeah, it's massive. So I think it's sort of, he had surgery January 19. So it's still sort of settling a little bit, but we'll work through that as it comes, I think.
Yep. We'll keep an eye on that one. I've got to ask, we talked about obviously the O'Learys and Daryl Rowbottom, but obviously Dan Payne's your president, who's also the manager of the Holiday Inn in town. So will there be some staycations for the coach potentially after games, and, you know, the upgrade to a, you know, the nice penthouse suite or something at the Holiday Inn?
That's not a bad idea, Kingy. It is a bit of a drive back to Armstrong Creek after a big home game, so I might try and hit Dan up for that.
Dinner at Maestro too, or very nice restaurant too.
Is
yeah,
it?
It's very nice.
Oh, I haven't had... When are we going?
That drive by, Dan, give us a voucher. Beautiful. Well done. Yes.
When are we going there?
Oh, I've been there.
Well, that's maybe
very
we...
Very nice.
Yeah. Ned. And Ned can present me with the 34.
Perfect. We'll do it at Maestro. Well done. Good work.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Practice matches. You've got Ocean Grove as one confirmed. Yep. Any others that you've locked away yet?
Dunstown on the 23rd.
Where?
Of
Dunstown.
March.
Yeah, where?
Dunstown, I believe that's sort of a returning fixture.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And I think it's our turn to host it, hopefully, but we haven't finalised that yet.
Yep. Very good. And then obviously into it, round one, April 6th. So give the boys Easter off and then crack in.
Exactly right. First Easter I've had off for 6 or 7 years. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah. Ned, good to chat with you. Thanks for taking some time out of day one of the school year to get a few words in, because this might be the last chance you'll get to talk to anybody for the next 11 months between coaching footy and also teaching out at Iona, which is getting a very good reputation, I must say.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yes, very good.
And I don't think easy
to
get.
Hopefully I can improve it, but that's all right. Thank you very much.
Ned, good to talk. Good luck for the year, and we'll talk to you throughout the year on Beyond the Boundary.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, that was Ned Alsbrook, who's got to go back to the classroom for the afternoon on day one of teaching. You'll be listening to this in the evening or some other time, but we are recording on Wednesday, January 31 in the afternoon. So anything you do here might be a little bit dated when you hear it. You might have read the information somewhere else, but a little bit happening. Got a couple of questions for you.
Mm.
What is Oscar Brownless doing?
Well, who knows? Where is he playing? There's been rumours.
So he is a one-pointer at Geelong Amateur,
mm-hmm.
but I believe he's not playing there.
Right.
Do you have any further insight?
Well, I hear... Well, he might have called somebody who used to coach him at the Falcons. I heard that one along the line.
Right.
Who coaches another team in Warrnambool.
Right.
So he might be... With the names Warrnambool.
Right.
I don't know. He's back around, though.
Would that put him in a team with a very handy AFL player who's just retired?
238. Yes, that would. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ben Cunnington is playing at Warrnambool. Yes. So anyway, we get fed a little bit of Warrnambool news up here.
We do.
These days.
And with the movement from the Hampton League
yes.
to this neck of the woods.
Yes.
You did get fed some information about a Leopold recruit that he might be a little bit better than maybe where he's come from.
Yes. So there's a recruit who's gone to Leopold, Tate Porter, who's played at Merivale last year, which is the district league in Warrnambool. Goes okay, I hear.
Right.
He's going to improve the Leopold team, which I thought, well, that's an interesting comment, seeing as though they won the premiership. Mm. So, yes. I think he's going to. We'll keep an eye on him for the season.
Yep. Paddy Dowling had been linked to Thompson.
He had been.
Billy Smets has gone there.
He has.
Wasn't Billy going somewhere else?
Well, Billy's brother-in-law to be. I don't know. Are they married?
Yeah, yet? No. Madison. Yeah, they are Madison
married.
Yeah,
so his brother-in-law is Nathan Vardy. So he was going to North Warrnambool, I hear, and then. I don't think Nathan's too happy about the switch to Thompson, which Thompson are very happy about.
Yep.
And, yes, the GDFNL will get smettable this year.
Right.
So we'll see how he goes.
If you've heard the rumour about Trent West going to Thompson, it's not happening.
Right. Okay. So that's off the roster. Yep. So that's good.
Yep. That has been nipped in the bud.
Good.
So it doesn't mean it won't happen, but I've been told that he's not playing there. Nathan Bissett's retired.
He has. So a birdie tells me. He's retired.
He's retired.
Yes.
Doesn't want any publicity.
Right.
So he's
well,
just
we won't
got,
give him any.
So he's just got some. We understand that Aniki have another lever to pull when it comes to recruiting.
That's very good, Tom. That's very good. Yes.
Former Tiger and Bulldog Sam Lloyd has been spotted at Aniki Reserve. Aniki have 50 points, by the way.
So they got plenty.
Yeah.
What would he be?
He'd be a four.
Yeah. Retired.
Yeah, he's been playing at... So home is Deniliquin.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
The Murray League, yes. So that's a Premier League.
Yes.
So it'd be a four-pointer. Well,
that'd be interesting.
You don't strike me as an Australian Idol fan, but have you seen the ads for Australian Idol?
You're correct in that notion. And the second one, no, I have not.
Right. So you haven't paid attention to the fact that there's a Jackson from Werribee who is part of the Australian Idol cohort this year.
Is there?
Do you remember a Jackson Smith that ran around for Werribee Centrals?
Yes.
That's him.
Really?
Yes. Very talented guitarist and singer.
Really?
Yes. So,
right. Son of?
Son of Nick.
Yes.
Right.
Right, okay.
Jackson could seriously play.
He could. It's, injuries, I think?
Yes. He did like a scaphoid or similar, which I think might have been on the old strumming hand.
Right, okay. Well, that's another reason for me not to watch it. I mean, to watch Australian Idol.
Yeah. Bellarine, this is a big one. Do you know how the Western Bulldogs AFLW job was vacant? Well, still is vacant.
Coaching job?
Yep.
Yes.
Josh Finch interviewed for it.
Did he really?
He did.
Really?
He didn't get it, obviously. He's been confirmed that he's out of the running. But how good for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's obviously been with the Cats
yes.
AFLW program yes. for 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
One for you. I'm not kidding about this one either. A departed talented youngster from a Bellarine club who went to another league.
Yes.
I think wants to go home.
Really?
Mm.
After only 5 minutes.
Yep. Sad news out of Newcombe. Picked up a really handy recruit called Mitch Ayres. Now, the name won't mean anything to anybody, but he's played... the name would have meant something to Ben Lloyd because he's from North Albury.
Right, okay.
Played some Ovens and Murray senior footy. Yep. They don't grow on trees. Bellarine clubs has hurt a knee.
Training?
Yeah, training. Yeah. Yeah, not an ACL, though, I don't believe, but time on the sideline speaking with Tony Mirabella.
Mm.
Which Bellarine club president took 8 for 6 in the St. Peter's fifths on the weekend?
It was. Oh, I did see it too because it was Jammo's team, wasn't it?
It is.
Cam.
Yep, you're on the...
I'm on. Yeah, I remember seeing it because I went 8 for 6. No, I can't. Who
Cam
was it?
Healy.
Cam Healy, that's what it was too, yes.
So that's a St. Peter's fifths lineup. So who over the last couple of weeks have fielded Cam Healy, who was a very handy player himself at Geelong West, Heath Jamieson, Paul Carson.
Shane Jack.
Sean Higgins.
David Johnson.
Adam Cooney.
Adam Cooney, that's right.
This is rivaling the era of that St.
Joseph's. Six, yes.
Yeah, which had David Wojcicki, Blake Carousella. Noah's going to be a good footballer. Cameron Ling, and some very good, Spider Smith.
Are. Yep,
so
yep
some,
that's right.
So very impressive. Not the only impressive sporting feat by a local football personality in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Devon Smith.
Yes.
8 under off the stick at Derrimut.
What is he doing?
42 Stableford points because his handicap is as good as +2.
Wow.
Still didn't win the day. Got beaten by a bloke playing off 29.
Oh, that'd be right. That's always the way.
But rubbing it further in, 7 under after 9.
Oh.
Put the handbrake on.
Oh, wow. What do you do on the back 9?
Yeah,
Gee whiz.
1 under. Still us.
Just 1 under. Yeah, 1 under. Wouldn't we be happy with that?
So good work by Dev, will play a half of Lara's last practice match, we believe.
And we'll all hold our breath and make sure he gets through it.
Caelan Bradkey, does that name mean anything to you?
Well, Bradkey does, but...
Yeah, not Mark.
Not Mark. No, tell me more.
Richmond rookie.
Yes, right.
Delisted.
Playing.
Geelong VFL.
Right.
But needs.
A line two.
Two clubs are into him who don't want to be revealed.
Right.
Because I don't think
they know each other. So they're playing off against each other without knowing.
Mm.
Right.
There's a couple more fixture changes on the cards.
Yes, there is.
Including a potential standalone season opener on April 6th.
Right.
But clubs are still in discussion, so we'll leave them out of it. But
right.
We might get an... And it's not necessarily from around the Anzac Day area where clubs have been... South or Joey's have been known to try and
move things because of dates. Yeah.
It's from a bit later in the year.
Right.
St Mary's and St Joey's might find themselves in a standalone Sunday game later in the year too.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
It's nothing better than St Mary's and Newtown, St Mary's and St Joey's, or Joey's and Newtown playing on a Sunday, I reckon.
Joey's and Newtown only play each other once again.
Really?
Yes. What about the Community Cup on the big day of racing at Geelong?
Yes. Now, what happened there? Well, now, tell me this.
Right.
Now, figure me this.
Yes.
So, the scenario was that clubs and organisations around town could buy some tickets and into a draw.
Yep.
Get the number for a horse.
They did.
And go into the draw to win $20,000.
Yep. With the winning horse.
The winning horse. Great concept. Fantastic. Yeah. Getting people to the day, and then getting clubs an opportunity to possibly raise some funds. And bugger me, who wins it? St Mary's.
Who does the CEO of the Geelong Racing Club coach?
I've got no idea, but I think it might be St Mary's.
Is the president of the Geelong Racing Club a life member of St Mary's?
He might be. This is a job lot. What is going on here?
It's all above board. It is legitimately above board.
Yeah, it also pays for the coach. So it's fantastic this year. It's great.
Well, no, it's not paying for the coach. No. There's actually,
that's very good.
Speaking to St Mary's, they would like bigger goalposts. Because
they are very small. That's true. They need the John Mitchell ones at Thompson. That's what they need. The ones that hit the sky.
Yeah, that came from GMHBA Stadium, didn't they?
They were donated. There you go, Mitch. There's your drive-by.
Yeah.
You've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be in it to win it. They just happened to be plucked out as the horse that won. So there you go.
I think Bell Park might have had second and third.
Really?
Yeah, you could buy more.
You could buy more, yes.
So there were 36 packages bought across, it might have been 20-odd different community organisations. Mm. The Faulkner Netball Club was in. How did the Faulkner Netball Club get involved?
Somebody somewhere along the line.
Yeah, well, Geelong Connection.
It. Yep.
St Mary's do want to, the new goalposts.
Nice.
And also they're looking at doing the coaches' boxes on the western side of the ground.
Yep.
There's some trees there, though, that are an issue that they can't remove to do that job. That is also prohibiting them from playing night footy. You'll see that there's not a lot of night footy on the radar at Anthony
Costa
Oval.
Which is interesting because it's a great ground for that.
Yep.
Great facility, vicinity to everything, walk to it. Yeah. Mm. So
if you're wondering why there's no night footy at St Mary's, it's those trees actually create a massive shadow.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It doesn't make it easy.
You have been on the ground, haven't you?
Yeah.
Been talking to some people.
I've been talking to some people.
Didn't have a holiday.
No, I actually did.
Did you?
But I actually was hearing stuff while on holiday.
Yes. Downtown Northern Victoria. You're still getting things.
Things were still coming
things
to me.
Things were still happening.
Running into people in Echuca.
That's the place to be.
And people were telling me stuff up there.
That's the place to be.
You got a tour of the Bruce Moore Room as part of the new grandstand, the Joel Selwood stand.
Can you just
give us a bit of you took some little sneaky images as well.
I did. Yeah, no, Sunday, yes. We had a Geelong Cricket Club Past Players Day on Sunday. So we were...
Was Arthur there?
Arthur wasn't there. I was very... He texted me and said, I went Saturday, which is very Arthur.
Yeah.
Like, go Saturday. It was Sunday.
Yeah, right.
So it was a day early as always. No, so they took us through a tour of the new Bruce Moore Room and the seating at the front. Very nice.
It'll be known as the Bob Merriman Stand.
Bob Merriman Stand.
Where's the Philip Marshall Stand going to be?
So they're going to redo that near the, depending on where it happens with the rest of the stadium, but they are going to put the players... stand there, where it was.
There are some good people in this world, and then there's Philip Marshall.
Yes, no, he's been a doyen of the Cricket Club. So, yeah, it was great to look through and just be able to have a look at the inside of the stadium as well. They've got new commentary boxes for the cricket at northern end as well, up the top. And standing room for 2,000.
Yes.
Which looks very Anfield-like.
Yeah, safe standing it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, it looks... So, it was great to have a look through, and they're going to have some indoor nets there as well. There's retail area. It's going to be amazing.
Geelong Sports Museum.
It's Sports Museum, I know. That looks great, doesn't it? Yeah, what a great idea. So, it's not far away from finishing.
Yeah. So it'll be right for... round one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right for round one. Yeah. More TVs in the Bruce Moore Room than I have seen ever.
Right.
There's about 12 TVs.
Cats are going all right in the cricket too.
Going okay. Had a bit of a stumble on the weekend as we were there. But apart from that...
So Richmond chased down those runs.
Yeah, they were 2-70 overnight on the Saturday. So we got there at about 11 and we had to get going a bit quickly. And we were all done by 2:30 pretty much. All home for a nap because we're all old.
Right. So
some doyens though. Redpath.
How is Sir Ian?
Sir Ian's very
Who's
nice.
Who's hit 80?
Yeah, look, unbelievable. Should see him. He can still bat, I reckon.
Yep. Is he still swinging the club down at Bowen Heads?
He is, yes. Ken Davis?
Yep.
Yes. Brother of?
Yep.
He loves when I say that. Peaky? Surprise, surprise. Spent most of the afternoon talking about his offspring, who was a much better cricketer than him. There's the drive-by for Peaky too. There you go.
See you in a month.
Really? Long?
Maybe a fortnight.
No, I can only see you once a month at the moment. I see you too much during winter.